is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for Jesus, my Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for all of us, your children, my Father. And what an honor and what a privilege it is that you were some of us, Lord, into your very presence, that we can eat from the King's table, and my Father, hear what the King has planned for our lives, my Father, from this day on, for all eternity, my Father. And we count it an honor and a privilege. So here's our cup, Father. Fill it up and make us whole. And as in always, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, for this is your kingdom. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in it. It all belongs to you, my Father. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, both now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, in the power of attorney that you've given us in Jesus, so shall it be. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excuse me. As in always, you know what an honor and what a privilege it is. You know, I say this all the time. And I don't just say that from out of my mouth. I say that out of my heart. You know, and when I say my heart, I mean my mind, my will, my soul, my spirit, my emotions, my attitude, everything that's in me. Because that's what's in me. You know, and that reason why that's what's in me, because that's what I put on the inside of me, you know, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what's on the inside of me that I decree and declare. That's the word of God. That's it. You know, as an ambassador of Christ, you know, or as an ambassador of the kingdom, you know, as an ambassador, you don't represent, you represent the country. You know, an ambassador is the highest ranking position in government. You know, it don't represent a constituency of the government. It represents the whole government. Hallelujah. Ambassadors don't have no opinion. If you ask an ambassador a question, man, his answer is, my country views is this. And then he states what his country views. He have his opinion, but he don't give that. He only can say, boy, what the government say. That's it. That's it. And listen, let me tell you something else about ambassadors. Hallelujah. This might be later on in next year, you know, where we get deeper into the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something else about ambassadors. Ambassadors don't have to worry about nothing They don't pay no bills or nothing. The government take care of everything. Everything. You send an ambassador from the United States to the poorest country, you can send him over there to Haiti, one of the poorest countries over there in the Caribbean. And man, he don't live like those people over there live. He live raw life over there in that poor nation. Right, because the government take care of everything. The government, man, first thing the government do is purchase the territory. Then build them a big old house to live in. Then have guards and everything else for them. Then pay for all his clothes, his food, his cars, his vehicles, his country club bill, the golf club, all pay for everything. Food. The government pays everything. The government don't have time for him to be worried about how he's gonna pay this and how he's gonna pay that at the expense of representing the country. No, they make the country make sure that they does his lease work. You don't have to worry about none of those things. All they gotta do is keep on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, this, that's a very important part of it. Not only just the kingdom of God, but to be in right standing, in right alignment with the government of the kingdom. You can't act no any kind of way. My brother and I were talking, man, before I came on, man, this boy, it comes with responsibility. Hey, listen, that's not only is all this kingdom of God available to us, but there's a royal protocol. It don't just happen to us like a white kid falling out the tree. Not only that, we got to know that God has redeemed our life from destruction and restored back to us our kingdom authority. But once you come to the knowledge of that, hey, then you got to learn how to operate it. We got to learn the functioning principles of it, the laws that govern, how it operates. It don't just happen, you know. Listen, man, God is a God of laws. And we must operate within the guidelines of his law. That's why he say, seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes we start right there. But he say, and his righteousness. That means to be in right alignment. Listen, if you're a criminal out here, man, you know, you got to be running from the law, you know. And a lot of things you can't do. Man, but listen here, if you're in right standing with the government of this country and you being a citizen of it, then, man, you have a right to all your privileges. You have a right to all that this country has to offer to you. But if you ain't in right standing and you're incarcerated, you know, you have some rights, but man, a lot of your rights is gone. You can't just get up whenever you want to get up, go wherever you want to go, eat whatever you want to eat, put on whatever you want to put on. No, you lose some of your rights when you're incarcerated. Why? Because you're not in right standing with the government of this country. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. You got to be in right standing. You know, well, God, listen, man. God holds us, like my brother was saying, God holds us responsible for what he gives us. He gives us a precious gift, man. You know, that's the gift of everlasting life. And he restores back to us, man, where we lost. That's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and dominion and the authority and the control and the power and the influence of it here on this earth. But, man, listen, he ain't just... Once you come to the knowledge of that and the value of that, and then you don't just take that lightly no more. It'll be like Jesus said, well, you go sell everything that you got, man. You come back and buy this gear here. You buy this girl. Why? Because everything that we're looking for, everything that we're searching for, everything that we're trying to get, it's in that place. What place is that, Lord? In the kingdom of God and in right standing with the government of the kingdom. And right standing with the king. Listen, even the right standing with the king, you know, it's all orchestrated by the king. Hallelujah. The righteousness that we are, that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. He did that. I told you, unless the Lord build a house, I'll labor in vain. And when I come on here, I told you, I ain't talking about what my church doing, man, what my denomination doing, what your church doing, what this denomination doing, what this preacher doing, that pastor doing, this, that. No, I don't want to tell you, man, what the king doing. Who is the king, Arthur? Open up your gates and let the king of glory come to. Who is that, Arthur? The Lord God Almighty, mighty and valiant. Who is that? That's the king of glory. That's the king of glory. Hallelujah. Well, open up your gates and let him come in. Boy, boy, the king. Who is that boy? That's a, this. And watch this here. That's good news right there, but I got some great news. What's that? This king of glory that we're talking about? Boy, that's our father. That's our source. That's our sustainer. Not only is he our God, but oh boy, that's Abba. That's Daddy. That's Father. That source of our lives, and watch this here, and the sustainer of our life. He ain't no deadbeat dad. He don't make no children, man, and then just abandon the man and leave him, man. No, not him. Not our Father. Hallelujah. Boy, he loves his children, and boy, he done great things for his children, man. Listen, I don't like this word, but for lack of a better way of using it at this time right now, the word I'm talking about is problem. But it seems like he has a problem. What? He has a problem like getting his children to the knowledge of that, to know that. He say, listen, the truth don't set you free. He say, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, that's what sets you free. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know the truth. That's why he don't ever want us to know, my man, about the kingdom. That's why he don't ever want us to know what Jesus preached when he was upon the earth. Listen, a lot of our messages that you hear, man, in your churches, man, I can say this here, man, with boldness and confidence. Perhaps for the last 1,500 years, it's been the good news, man, about Jesus. And that's a needed message. But that's a means to the end. And why you hear me say this a lot too, the devil's most successful tactic against us, the church, is to preoccupy us with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. What's the end, man? Well, what he said. And that's what's been hid from the church. The Bible said this way, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hid in a field. What's the field? All these different, man, religions. You got all kinds of different, man, religions and man's attempt to appease deity. All this is the field. You got the Buddhists, you got the Islam, you got the Hindus, you got the Christians, you got all these different titles and all these things, you know, and none of those are really in the Bible, in the Word of God. There's no indication of none of that in the Word of God. All the titles that we fall upon, that's man-made. And listen, God allowed man to operate in that. That was his permissive will until, boy, he could get back his perfect will back into the earth. So in time past, God dealt with man in customs and traditions and rituals and ceremonies, and that's what produced all these different, man, sects, S-E-C-T, different groups and different sectarian, man, distinctions, man, producing, man, different groups of people. They call it religion. Well, that's man's attempt to appease deity. That's man's trying to reach God. That's man trying to make it to hell. That's what we're doing. Listen, man, that ain't no evil thing. That's how God did in time past. But listen, that's in time past. And this day and time, boy, he's dealing with us, man, a whole different way. The Bible says this, boy, listen. From Moses to John the Baptist, God spoke to us through the law and the prophets. And from Moses to John, the law and the prophets were preached. But now, the kingdom of heaven is being preached. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is being preached. What do you say, Lord? That's how he dealt with us in time past. But in this time right now, boy, that's listen. And all the message that we heard about Jesus and how he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes and how he unstopped deaf ears and won't he do it and how, boy, he hung, bled, and died and how he rose from the grave and all those. We know all about that. And how he's the Son of the Most High God. We know all about that, who he is and what he did and when he came, you know, 2,000 years ago. We know all about that. And we're not careful, man. In fact, you know, that's what most of our knowledge and even our our theology comes from, about death. But what's hidden in all of that, that we know about all of that, is what he sees. That's the treasure that's hidden in this field. And when you find that treasure, then you're going to say everything that you got, man. You come back, man, by that whole field. Your search is over with then. You will have found what you've been looking for. And when you find what you're looking for, you don't look no more. You just rejoice in what you found, man, and you grow up in it and live in it. That's how it is, man. And when I say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, let me see if I can say it in a little bit even clearer way, you know, put some water on that seed. The kingdom of God is just, man, what, like I say, man, what the king says. That's the kingdom of God. The governing influence of a king over the territory, impacting it with his will, his intent, his desire, his purpose. That's the kingdom of God. What's the domain? What's the territory? That's anywhere, anybody who will allow God to have power, control, influence, and authority in their life. What's that? That's the kingdom of God. What's the results of dead man taking place on the earth? When, Lord, when we begin to allow death to govern our lives, instead of our traditions and our customs and our ceremonies and our religion, but when we allow, boy, what the king says to govern our lives, then, boy, we can begin to experience, man, all of the kingdom of hell. Watch this. Not in the sweet by and by. Here on earth. And listen, that's a prayer that you've been praying all our lives. And really, you know, it's a prayer that has really been answered. And when he let me quote it to you. What's the prayer we've been praying all our lives? Father in heaven, you are mighty God. That's our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Then the next thing it says is this. Then you start making a petition. What's the first petition? Our Father, which is in heaven. That's where all our resources and everything comes from. Hallowed be your name. Boy, that's honor and praise and worship and adoration. Then you make a request. What? Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Not my kingdom, not my will, not mankind's kingdom, not mankind's will, not Caesar's kingdom, not the kingdom of the United States or the kingdom of Kuwait or not those. Let your kingdom come. Let your rule, let your governing influence come. And let your will, your intent, your desire, your purpose, your reason for our existence and us being here on this earth. What's your intent? Let that come. When? Now. Well, let thy kingdom come and let thy will be done on earth. Where? On earth. Where you live at? Where I live at? That's on earth. How? Just like it is in hell. Hello. That's his will. That's his intent. That's his desire. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's what he wants. He wanted to be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. He ain't trying to get us to heaven. He's trying to get, well, he ain't trying to get, that's why I say, you know, what he's asking to do is already done. He's already got heaven back to earth. Back to earth. Because at one time it was on earth. The atmosphere and the environment out there. Or as well, Arthur Indigo and the Beast. That was a little carbon copy of heaven. And man's responsibility, mandate, was to make the whole earth just like that little garden. And in making the whole earth just like that little garden of Eden, it would be on earth just like it is in heaven. And in that environment, and in that atmosphere, the same thing that's going on in heaven would be going on there. The same culture, same nature. And all the citizens, all the people that live there, that's you and I and all mankind. All of them will be ruling and reigning in our territory, not over one another, but over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives. Just like our Father in heaven ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts his life. And boy, it'll be on earth. Glory to God. Just like it is in heaven. Boy, that's his intent. That's his original intent. That's his original plan and purpose and destiny. Let me tell you something. That's why you hear me say, boy, what the king said, that's where it's going to go. Boy, I discovered something a long time ago. You know, and boy, it was so good that, man, it took me almost 40 years really to get it down really on the inside of me to where it was, because most of the time, boy, it was like it was too good to be true till I discovered something where that it is. Boy, it is too good. And the reason why it is too good, because it's true. And the reason why it's true, because it's, boy, too good. Why is that, Arthur? Because, boy, that's what the king say. What do you mean it's too good? The king say, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. And he saw all that he made, and even the morning was the sixth day, and, boy, God said, and that was very good. Hallelujah. Well, let's make them just like us. And let's give them dominion over a territory called earth, so that they can make it in their territory that I gave them called earth, just like it is in our territory. And let's give them everything that they have need of. Let's put on the inside of them the potential to fulfill that God-given purpose and destiny. And that's what God did. I thought he had heaven on earth. So he did that. He came down, formed a body from the ground, put the man in the body, then man planted a little carbon copy of heaven on earth called Eden, and there he placed the man in that place. And from that place, he told the man to work. What work mean? Become. Become what? Become what I spoke about you. What you spoke about me, that you were just like me. What he spoke about us, that we just like him, that we created in his image and his likeness, that he gave us kingship and authority and dominion over every circumstance, situation, and something in our lives. Listen, let me say something while I'm right here. The devil don't have no authority over us no more. His authority that Adam gave him, boy, back in the garden, man, way back, man, in the beginning, man, listen, that authority been stripped of him. And he's lost that. Everything that Adam gave him, boy, it's been lost. Glory to God. It's been everything that he stole from Adam and stripped from Adam, man, it's been took from him and restored back to you and I. I didn't know that, Arthur, because that's what he was saying. I'm talking about what he was doing and who he is. I'm talking about what he was saying about who he is and what he was doing. That's what the devil don't ever want you to know, boy. What like I tell you about what he said. What he said. Yes, man, thank God for all the other characters. Thank God for Moses and Jeremiah and all of them, even Peter, James, and John, even, man, Bishop so-and-so and Pastor so-and-so and Brother Arthur LaBelle, you know, hey, thank God for everything we say, but boy, let me tell you something, that's a for sure word of a guarantee, boy, that's what he say, the king say, that's what the Lord say, and boy, let me tell you something, that's what's going to go, heaven and earth going to pass away, but the word of the Lord, that's going to abide forever. Well, I find when I listen, that went off on the inside of me way back when I first read it, that was a long time ago. And boy, listen, boy, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I said, listen, if the word of God going to abide forever, then boy, I'm going to fill myself up with the word of God, and they're going to be like a preservative. They're going to preserve me. If I get death, which is going to last forever down on the inside of me, then boy, it's going to last forever on the inside of me. That means I'm going to last forever. Hallelujah. So that's what I started doing, boy. I started putting the word of life on the inside of me. And boy, every time I come on this radio broadcast, it's just an impartation. I don't have no sermons. What you doing, Arthur? I'm just imparting them into your heart and into your spirit, the word of life. Glory to God. That's why I tell you, boy, it's an honor and a privilege, man. You might not even understand it, boy, but it's an honor and a privilege. I'm just like a sower, man, just sowing seeds in the kingdom, man, out into the fields, man. Out into these radio waves, man, into your homes, into your family and everything else, man. And boy, as many as received him, hallelujah. As many that received the word of God, that's the good ground. Well, he not only gave them power to become the sons of God, but he gave them, man, authority and influence in his race. For what purpose, boy? To set up, boy, to reestablish what the king say, what his word said, so that we could get back on course toward the destination that he has for our lives. Not the destination that we have for our lives. See, listen, the destination that most Christians have for their lives and most religions have for their lives is to get to a utopia, a better world. The Christian man is to get to make it to heaven. Trying my best to make it in. One glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. No, listen. He didn't say fly away. He said occupy until I come. We're trying to get to. That's why I say it's something that's already been done. The kingdom came 2,000 years ago. That's what Jesus Christ came and bought. This Christmas holiday that we're coming on right now that we're celebrating, man, it's like a pagan holiday where you don't really have. You know, get knowledge and get wisdom, but then all you're getting is understanding. More limited days. I mean, talking about a Santa Claus. I ain't talking about a Santa Claus with the long beard and big and kind of red suit on and kind of heavy set and everything else. I'm talking about the one came from hell. More with gifts. I ain't talking about, like, you know, cars and motorcycles and houses and clothes and jewelry and all that. I ain't talking about all that. No, he came with a way far greater gift than that. Who is this Santa Claus from heaven, man? This boy, his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. We call him Jesus. And boy, he came with some gifts. What gifts he came with, boy? He came with the gift of everlasting life. Listen, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You and I all sin, and all men, the penalty for that is death. But boy, God did something, boy, that superseded man, the penalty for sin, that's death. He sent a law. What law is there? The law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do through the weakness of the natural man, God became a man himself. Hallelujah. And cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Blessed are the poor, boy, that's the love of God. Boy, that he has been to his children. Listen, when we discover, it ain't something that we want to come, that's something that came 2,000 years ago. And what he said about it was the function and principles of it. Let me quote to you in scripture to help you understand what I just said. He told Peter and James, you know, say, who I am? They say, who people say that I am? They say, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this prophet, some say you're that prophet. All them people that they talking about were prophets. Same when we duke Jesus Christ down to a prophet, man, he ain't no prophet, he's the king. And then he say, who you, they ask the disciples, who y'all say I am? That's the church. Now, first say, who the world say I am? Who the people say I am? I bet. Then you say, who the church say I am? Then you ask the disciples, the scholars, the us so-called leaders, who you say that I am? And Peter say, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord Jesus say, listen, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That's revelation, Mark. The only way you can know that voice of my Father in heaven after me. But now you got to understand what he was saying. You got to see what Jesus, what Peter said. Peter said, thou art the Christ. The word Christ means the reigning king, the Messiah, the Savior, the promised one. The one that God has promised men all through the Old Testament. Every prophet has something to do with the promise of a Messiah, the coming king. That we're going to set up a kingdom, man, that we're going to override all the kingdom of this earth, man, and we're going to be an everlasting kingdom. He said, you that one, brother. That's what Christ is, reigning king. The anointed king. The anointed king. And listen, that's who he is, but you know what he preached? Know what he said? That's why the devil don't ever want you to find out what he said. He said, I show you a mystery that's been hidden from ages and ages. Paul had a revelation of it in Colossians chapter 1. He said, what's that mystery? He said, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. What did he say? Christ in you. Well, boy, that's a king in you. That's a ruler in you. Hallelujah. He's the reigning king. As he is, so are we. That's what he was saying. But you are reigning king too. There's a ruler in you too. There's a little Christ in you too. You're a little king too. You can rule and reign too. Instead of circumstances, situation itself is dictating to you in this world, this life, and everything that's in it, man, even though you're in it, you don't have to be of it. Instead of it dictating to you, you can dictate to it. You can decree a thing and it'll be. You can declare a thing and it'll be. The work that you saw me do, you can do too. In fact, you can do greater works. As the Father sends me, that's how I'm going to send you. What he said you do, what he sent me to do, he can send me more to bring life back to humanity. And the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven to restore that back on the earth. But what the king doing, what he started off doing, and boy, what he started and everything about it and what happened in it, how he got off course for a moment, and then how he put it back on course, and then what he's doing right now. What he doing right now? Man, bringing you and I, mankind, to the knowledge, man, of what he's doing. And instead of us trying to get, we're starting then just trying to start having. We've been trying to get what's already out. We've been trying to get what we already have. Instead of just learning how to have what's already ours. Listen, the kingdom didn't come. That's what Jesus brought 2,000 years ago. That's what he said. Know what he said? This was his first, this was his inauguration of ministry. This was at the beginning of his ministry. His first message was this. Hey, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It's at your hands. It's among you. It's here now. And then he went on to say, and when I finish doing what I'm doing, it's not only going to be among you, it's going to be on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Well, hey, Christ in you. You're going to be on the inside of you. You're going to discover, boy, who you really are. That you a king too. That you're a ruler too. That you have sovereign reign too. That's sovereignty. That's complete rule. That's complete reign. You don't come to the knowledge instead of just living and dying like mere men and mere women. Well, you're going to go in the knowledge, man, that you are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Instead of living and dying like men, you know, Christians and Hindus and Muslims and all the other different ties that we fall up under and praise and worship leaders and praise dancers and all our ties of popes, bishops, pastors, all that. Instead of doing living like that, boy, you got to come to know, boy, that you are the children of the Most High God. One day there ain't going to be no more pastors and prophets and teachers and Hindus and Christians and Muslims and all that. There ain't going to be no more of that, man, one day, man. Hallelujah. Well, you'll always be the sons of the Most High God. You'll always be the children of the Most High God. You'll always be a ruler. You'll always be a king. You'll always be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, a representative, man, of him. those are eternal. I tell you, boy, they even talking about the old Santa, the old world Santa Claus, the pagan Santa Claus, boy, you don't know nothing about the real one, the original one. I don't have to call the name Santa Claus, but I just, you know, for figure of speech to help you understand, boy, the one who came bearing gifts, real gifts. What about them gifts, boy, boy, listen, boy, they have a lasting life. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God, they have a lasting life. It isn't. Here's another gift. The gift of righteousness. That's a gift from God. That's why I say, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This righteousness, man, that's a gift from God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. That's a gift from God. In Romans chapter 5, say, those who have received the gift of righteousness, watch this here. Those who receive the gift of righteousness, the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a gift from God. You're trying to get righteous through your works when you've been made righteous. Instead of trying to get for what you already have, listen, you are as righteous as you are ever going to be. You just got to learn how to awake to righteousness. The Bible says this, awake to righteousness and sin not, or sin less. In other words, the more you become to the knowledge of it and the consciousness of it and the awareness of it, man, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then, man, you start awakening unto righteousness. Like my brother said, you start living responsible then. So you're responsible for this righteousness that you've been made. You're responsible for this eternal life as a gift from God. Well, you're responsible for that. And you're going to be judged by that, what you did with that. You ask me one test, one, gave you one coin, and you came back and gave me that one coin, gave it back to it, I'm about to get that taken from it. But it gives some 5 talents, some 2 talents, some 1 talent. What you gonna do with yours? What you gonna do with the word of God? Let me tell you something about the word of God too while I'm right here. Jesus said this here, my sheep hear my voice. And I don't care who you are, man, you can be it don't matter what you are, man. And if you're a student of the word of God and if your heart is tended toward God, then man, let me tell you something, boy. When the gospel of the kingdom is understood, you can't reject that. Who wants to reject, man, a utopia, a better world? Everything that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is looking for. A better world, a better life, a utopia. That's what the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is. That's what righteousness, man, in right standing with the government is. That's what, man, you know, that's what the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is. That's what life in Eden was like. You heard me say this on this broadcast many times. Can you imagine what life was like, man, when God was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, like the Bible says in the book of Genesis, when there was no sin, unbroken fellowship? And before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a relationship. It was a life. That was the beginning of mankind and God. And boy, it was something going on in there. There was a life going on in there. And that life that was going on in there, that's what Jesus called an abundant life. You know, he say the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life. That's not just life here on this earth and good life here, but it's an abundant life. What's that? Superior in quality and superior in quantity. The Greek and Hebrew word for it is zoe. That's the God kind of life. That's life the way God lives. And life the way God originally intended for you and I to live. In his presence, unbroken fellowship. And let me tell you something about that place. In that place right there, well, everything all right. Everything ain't going to be all right. It might be going through the process, but everything is already all right. I told you, boy, Isaiah quoted, man, and there is a little understanding and revelation of that in Isaiah 46. He said, fix this in your heart, I'm gone. Never none like me. And my counsel gonna stand. I declare the end from the beginning. I finish first. And then I start. He said, in fact, I show you. I show you the finished product, man, in the beginning of the Bible. In the first chapter of the Bible, I show you the end first. What's the end? Let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the cattle, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created. That's through past and man in his image. And his image created. It ain't going to do it. It's done. Male and female created he them. And then he said, and God, not going to bless them. And God blessed them. Then God gave them man what? Work. What did work become? Become what? Become what I say. Be fruitful and multiply, subdue it, and replenish it, and have control over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. So God blessed them and told them to be fruitful. And then he put them in a place, in an environment, in an atmosphere. He put them in, you know, that was conducive, man, to the throne room of God. Eden. The Eden in heaven, that's the very, that's the presence of the Lord, that atmosphere and the environment that comes from there. That's the Eden in heaven, Ephesians 10, 28. The original Eden. Then God planted that same environment, that same atmosphere on a spot here on the earth for a moment with an open door into the literal presence of the Lord. He called it Eden. And God. And God put that on the earth. God planted that spot. I established that environment. And there he placed you and I. And from there, he told you and I what to do. So this, the only way we can accomplish what God gave us to do, we got to be from that place. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve got put out of that place. When they got put out of that place, why? Because they declared independence. That's in another lesson. But they got put out of that place. And man, when they got put out of that place, what had to work from where they brought, man? Just to eat. And they got more put into another place. What's that? This world that we live in here today. The wilderness. Instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. What's the result of it? Well, how it is here on the earth now? It's good and evil. God told Adam, listen, man, listen. You can eat up all the trees in the garden. That's liberty. That's a perfect law in liberty. That's a law in the kingdom. He said, but let me give you something. Let me tell you something. Don't eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat out that tree, you're going to separate yourself from me. Because I'm a holy God. There ain't no evil in me. You know? There ain't no evil stay in my presence. So if you come to the knowledge of evil too, then you're going to separate yourself from me. That's death. That's spiritual death. That's the original death. That's the parent of physical death. If Adam never would have got separated and put out of that place, man, he never would have died. Death didn't happen until, boy, they rebelled. And when they rebelled, then, boy, death that was there in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, boy, when they rebelled, then that activated death and gave death its power to do what, boy? To separate mankind from his source, from the Father God, the source and sustainer. And as a result of it, man get put out into the wilderness. What's the wilderness? That's this world that we live in here today. Good and evil. Got some good. Got, listen, they got a lot of good in this world. They got a lot of evil in it too. And the good in it, man, is just more like a good bait over a hook. So we still trying to get good and try to get good, but we don't realize that even the good that we trying to get, Under that good boy is an evil hook. Where's that boy? Damnation and destruction. Even the way that seem right to man, the end leads to destruction. This world on a collision course, man, about to be cast into the lake of fire. And that world, that place that Adam and Eve got put out of in the Garden of Eden, man, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, boy, that's what he came with. That's what he had on this. And not only did he come with that place, but he had the governing authority and the governing and influence of it on his shoulder. What's the governing authority and the governing influence of it? The functioning principles of it. How it operates. How to live in it. How to manifest it on the earth. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was, the word preach means to, that's why I say devil, I want you to know what he said. That's what he was preaching. What? How this kingdom functions so that we could, first he was preaching that it's here, the kingdom of heaven is here. And then when he started preaching, man, you know how it functions. All those, listen, and how it operates and the laws that governs it. And why? Because hey, when I finish teaching you the functioning principles of it, then I'm going to cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness so that you can enter into it. That's what the death and on the cross and the resurrection was all about. To cleanse you up so that you can come back into that place. What place is that, Adam? That place that Adam and Eve got put out of. The presence of the law. That environment, that atmosphere. And let me tell you something again. In that place, that right there, everything already all right. And that's what God boy wants his people to come to the knowledge of. That place, that's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That's available to you. That place, man, has come back to you. Eden has come back to you. There's no more. Listen, when God put Adam and Eve out, they had flaming angels with flaming swords there to protect the way to the tree of life so they wouldn't eat off the tree of life and live forever in that fallen state until the righteous demand of a just God was met. Then them angels with the flaming swords, hey, they left. And no more angels there with flaming swords protecting the way to the tree of life. It's a door there now. An open door. Don't have no lock on it. Open 24/7. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you? Back into that place. What's that, boy? The presence of the Lord. The Garden of Eden. Where you can walk and talk with God in the cool of the day with unbroken fellowship as though you had never seen it. Knowing that they are in the sea of forgiveness, boy. That boy, I'm talking about the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's the right standing with the government, boy. Then when you're in right standing with the government, then you can boldly go make a demand on your constitutional rights. When you see what your rights are, what in this book, man, it's called the promises of God, then you don't go to God, man, saying, please, Jesus. Your religious prayer go from your fellowship with God and your prayer to go from a religious prayer, man, to a petition. Like in a court. Where you go make a demand on your constitutional right. And according to the laws of the court, man, they got to give you what's rightfully yours. We're the same way, boy, when we come to the knowledge. Man, listen. Who y'all? Boy, God got great things in store for you. I told you, if you tune into this radio broadcast here, then this is, boy, he pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, saying what, man, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. Ain't got nobody, man. I tell you, boy, sometimes I feel alone out here by myself. I don't hear nobody preaching the kingdom of God. And sometimes when you're alone out there by yourself, man, let me tell you something, boy, you face all kind of opposition. Just like Jesus did. His message was different from the message that the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, was preaching. And as a result of it, man, he faced all kind of opposition. Listen, his greatest opposition was the religious people. He said this about him, woe to you scribes and you Pharisees. You teachers of the law. your preachers and your apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. You won't discover and enter into the kingdom of God, nor will you allow man and people to go in. You won't study it and find out about it, nor do you man lead the people to study and find out about it. You'd rather continue in your traditions and your rituals and your ceremonies. You see it there to the religious people. Who were there? The ones who rejected man, the gospel of the kingdom. Those who rejected, what's the gospel of the kingdom? What he saved. What he preached. The word preach means to publicly declare a message. That's what preach means. To publicly declare a message. Teach means to instruct for change. Let me say that again. To preach means to publicly declare a message. Or let me say it a different way. It means to advertise. What you're doing, you publicly declare a message to the public. You declare a message to the public, to the consumer. What's the message? Your product. That's what preaching is, advertising. When they come on television and advertise, man, you know, they come on there to advertise their product. For what purpose? For the consumer to get their product. So what they're doing every time you see an advertisement or an advertising, they preach it. What they're doing, they publicly declare a message to the public, to the consumer, about their product. So what purpose are you? So that, man, you know, the consumer can get the product. What the manufacturer wants, he wants me and the consumer to get the product. So what he do? He advertise. He probably declare a message about it. About it. What? The product. So that's what Jesus was doing. He was preaching. Well, he was publicly declaring, man, a good message about a product. Because the product, all of the kingdom of heaven. That's the product. He said that's your inheritance. It was yours before the foundation of the world. That's the problem. All of the kingdom of heaven, all that heaven consists of, all that heaven has, all the attributes of it, all of the characteristics of it, all of the environment and atmosphere of it, all that it consists of, is your inheritance. And to be in that place, man, that's where you was probably declaring. That's your inheritance. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come, you who were chosen before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. Come, you who are dead in trespasses and sin, and receive the eternal gift, the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of righteousness, the free gift of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts. Hallelujah. So go on. Come get your inheritance. That's all the healing that you're ever going to need. All the peace that you're ever going to need. Every need men met. Everything that I'm talking about, it don't matter what it is from A to Z, whether it's spirit, soul, or even man, spirit. The answer to all of that, that's your inheritance. Come get that. That's what he was probably declaring. What, boy? What was behind the door? I told you, the angel with the flaming sword, they gone. What's there now? Open door. What? Into your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. Come give me what belongs to you. That's what he was preaching. You who are sick in your body, what? In the kingdom, Lord, there's healing in hell. You who are brokenhearted, this in the kingdom, man, is peace and joy. You who are down and out and seem like you've been dealt, man, the worst of life and everything, come. For the suffering of this present time is not worthy for all of the eternal glory that's available to you forever and ever and ever. Come. Come, you who are downtrodden. Come, you who don't even trust or who don't even believe. Or don't. Come, all of you. Come, you drug dealers. Come, you gangbangers. Come, everybody. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Come and get your inheritance. Well, that was prepared for you even before the foundation of the world. All of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, he wasn't advertising him. He was advertising the product. And he was advertising the product, boy, and demonstrating it in power. He was telling, boy, listen, all the healing that you're ever going to need, boy, in this kingdom. And then when they brought the sick people to him, he healed them. Hallelujah. Not only was he telling men about the pretty dresses, if I was going to advertise and I had a dress shop and I tell the people all about my dresses and everything else, then I started showing them pictures of it and everything else. Boy, he was demonstrating his power. That's what he was doing. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was telling them. All about man, the inheritance, what belonged to me. That's what the devil don't ever want you to know. That's why he keeps man the gospel of the kingdom hid from you. What's the gospel of the kingdom that he preached? Man, the product, all of the kingdom of heaven. What's the good news about it? It's available to you. And then he gave you the address. Listen, the manufacturer don't come on and talk about the door to the store, to the product, or even the manufacturer itself. Not first. They tell you all about the product. And then he gives you, man, the means to how to get it. See, listen, Jesus is the means to how to get it. But he didn't come preaching, man, the means to how to get it. He demonstrated that and manifested that. He come preaching the product. And then the people knew that he would, hey, how you get that product? You got to come through the means. Who is that? The door. He's the door. He's not it. He's the door to it. And boy, we begin to go and proclaim, man, the product. Well, boy, sovereignty, dominion, and raw power, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everlasting life, kingship, everything restored, everything that we lost, restored back to us. All sins forgiven, man. All debt paid in full. Utopia. Hallelujah. In that life. Hey, listen, my time is about up, but I just going to tell you, boy, once again, you know, as I bring this broadcast to a close, that lesson, boy, that's what's available to you and I. That's the product. That's what Jesus said. Hey, man, go tell people about the product. And then if you go tell them about the product, man, let me tell you something. If they want the product and you give them the address, then they're going to find the product. They're going to come looking for the product. But if you just give them the address and the door and everything, they might pass by and look at it. But if you give them the what's behind the door, they're not only going to pass by and look at the door or praise and worship the door. They're going to come behind the door and get what's there. That's what God's telling you today, man. Come on behind the door and get what's rightfully belong to you. What is that on the all of the kingdom of heaven? He said, if you come in and get in on it, you know, that's why I sent my son. That's what this Christmas holiday is all about, to bring that back to you, to cleanse you up so that you can come on back into it. And then, man, taught and everything that he said was how it functioned, how it operates. The Lord is saying to you, if you harden not your heart if you hear his word today. What a that boy, the invitation, man, to every last one of you, boy, to bring all your beliefs in there, your belief system, your theology, your church, your religion, bring all that on into the kingdom, man, into the kingdom of God, and get your inheritance. It belongs to us. And, boy, all of the things that ain't of the kingdom of God, boy, the Holy Ghost throw all that out. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. I pray God's blessing up on your life. And I decree and declare that ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper, and that this gospel is the kingdom, boy, in your heart and poured into your life, and ain't no weapon formed against you can stand. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. And you stay tuned to this radio broadcast. I guarantee you, boy, you stay tuned to it, it's going to continuously bless your life and give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. Here's the closing scripture. Unto the word of God's grace, I commend you. Hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, you might get your inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven. God bless you. My wife, Gail, and I, we love you with the love of the Lord. Our phone number, 713-870-3776. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the message on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry.